Good morning. So this is a product of a small research paper that we did on the impact of fear of detention and deportation on HIV-positive African immigrants in New York. Where I work at African Services Committee, we're a community-based organization based in Harlem serving the African and Caribbean immigrant community, a range of social services, but our primary focus is HIV and AIDS, where we have case management and HIV testing center, we have AIDS housing, immigration services, and we see approximately 10,000 immigrants every year, the majority of whom have been in the country 5 years or less, and are predominantly from West Africa, with French being the common language. I'm the director of advocacy there.
And so in this project, we'll be talking about how specifically the fear of detention, deportation, affects the health-seeking behavior of undocumented African immigrants.
We have no financial relationship to disclose, and research is funded by Ford Foundation. Thank you very much, Ford.
So to give a little bit of background, HIV remains a global epidemic. There are an estimated current 33 million people currently living with HIV. Almost two-thirds of them are in sub-Saharan Africa. And in the United States, of the approximately 1.1 million people living with HIV, over half are of African descent, either African American or from the Caribbean or from Africa. This represents a shift from the epidemic when it first started in the U.S., where it mostly affected men who have sex with men who were white. Very quickly, though, in the mid-80s, it shifted to have a disproportionate burden on minorities, specifically African American and people of African descent. Specifically, over half of people living with HIV are black in the U.S., over half of new diagnoses are among blacks. They present later with lower CD4 counts, and they have higher associated morbidity and mortality. So what is known about Africans living in the U.S. with HIV? Very little, in fact. There are only two studies that have looked at surveillance data on country of origin, which is only reported in 33 states. In the other, in the remaining states, there's no information on where the people come from who have HIV. From those two reports, we know that in certain localized urban areas, Africans represent a significant proportion of the total number of blacks with HIV. In some areas, up to 50%. Even though, on the whole, Africans make up only 1.5%, an estimated 1.5% of the total black population in the U.S. In addition to localized concentration of Africans with HIV in certain urban centers, the epidemic is completely different in this community. Transmission is predominantly heterosexual. There's less IV drug use associated transmission, whereas among African Americans, transmission is still predominantly from between men who have sex with men, although there's a growing contribution or a growing number of African American women who are also being infected. In addition, Africans with HIV are more likely to be older, and they present later. They have lower CD4 counts on presentation, but interestingly, they actually have a longer survival. It's not known exactly why, but it's thought probably due to the healthy immigrant effect, where immigrants come to the U.S. with healthier behaviors than native-born persons.
So this is a chart from HIV diagnosis among foreign-born individuals by region of birth in New York City. As you can see, those of African descent account for over half of the HIV diagnosis in New York City alone.
And so we felt that focusing on New York City and where our study is based is perhaps representative of larger trends in the U.S., since New York is a port of entry for most immigrants from Africa or the Caribbean. So why specifically this question? Well, we, in reviewing data from African Service Committee, clients, we found that the clients there actually present with significantly lower CD4 counts than all Africans in New York. This data is from New York City Department of Health. So whereas the mean CD4 count of clients at the African Services Committee at presentation is 187, the New York City Department of Health in 2006 estimated it at 257 for all Africans. That's compared to 269 for foreign-born overall and non-foreign-born 352. So this represents something's going on, and it's not clear what, but the clients at the African Services Committee are presenting much later for diagnosis and for care, and it's not clear why. So this study attempts to examine reasons why that might be, and the main hypothesis is that their undocumented status plays a primary role. All of the clients at the African Services Committee are undocumented.
For the majority.
And so we felt that this must be what's making the difference, and we wanted to investigate it.
So a large part of our interviews were around the impact of their presumed fear of detention and deportation. And this was maybe a reason why people were presenting late. Sorry, brain freeze.
Also seeking to increase the knowledge base around Africans living in the U.S. with HIV. There's very little information that's been published about their specific needs, their screening needs, their needs for follow-up and management. And then we also wanted to develop a set of recommendations that other community-based organizations could use in serving this community as well. So in carrying out this research, we came up with a theoretical model of what might play a role in the health-seeking behavior of Africans living in the U.S. With HIV, specifically how fear of detention might impact their access to care. And so starting out, we felt that probably policies on the national and local level surrounding immigration, for example, the relatively recent secure communities policies probably have an impact on health-seeking behavior of undocumented Africans living with HIV in the U.S. We also felt they probably don't understand well their rights in the healthcare system. They might not understand that their information will not be shared with immigration if they go to a hospital or a clinic. And then other factors such as their language ability, their English language ability, and perhaps previous experience with the judicial system would also affect their health-seeking behavior. So the methodology we used is we adopted a community-based participatory research approach between the African Services Committee, the community-based organization, and then a research center at Mount Sinai School of Medicine. We conducted two focus groups and 27 semi-structured interviews, all with clients at the African Services Committee. The participants were selected through a purposive sampling technique, and the criteria were that they had to be first-generation immigrants and clients of the African Services Committee. All right.
So, as you might expect, a major domain result of this research was the extremely high stigma that unfortunately remains within not just the African community, but many Black communities in the United States. The lack of culturally appropriate services. Many of the clients that we see, like Dimitri said, majority of whom are undocumented, most of whom do not have English as a primary language. And I mentioned French being the common language. We've seen through our female clients that, particularly those from West Africa, that don't have French either as a common language. So when, even though we have, in New York City at least, interpretation at city hospitals, which is mandated interpretation services, the languages which our clients' first born language is not always covered. Fear due to immigration status, this was huge. We've seen across the country full force push with enforced immigration, with the secure communities, which is sweeping through communities, taking people up. And like Dimitri said, most do believe that if they go to a hospital, then their information will be given to immigration, and the lack of immigrant rights within the healthcare system. In New York City, if you are undocumented, you can still get free HIV/AIDS medication, primary care, and in many cases, assistance with AIDS housing as well.
And most of the participants were not aware of that. So more specifically, the results were the following. In the two focus groups, there were a total of 16 participants. As stated above, the major domains that were uncovered were that there was a general fear of deportation due to, most specifically because the clients were afraid of being sent back home, because they felt that if they were, they wouldn't get the care they would need, and their health would suffer as a result. So over half of the participants expressed fear about going to a hospital due to their undocumented status. Almost half felt that their information might be shared with immigration. Over half were afraid of taking public transportation. We focused on this specifically because we felt it was an important part of accessing care. And a large majority were afraid of returning home because of their status, either because they wouldn't get the care they would need or because of the stigma they would face at home when they returned. From our initial theoretical model of what influences health-seeking behavior of undocumented African immigrants with HIV in the U.S., including the policies of the Immigration Department, the lack of knowledge of their rights vis-a-vis the healthcare system, and their level of acculturation, we also found that previous experience with the healthcare system played a large role in their level of comfort accessing care. So some of the participants had been living in the U.S. with HIV for over 20 years, and they had no fear at all of going to the hospital because they had been doing so for the past two decades, and they had never experienced any breach of confidentiality. Others had arrived and been diagnosed less than 2 months ago, and they had a high level of anxiety about going to a health facility. Which illustrates that last point. So, next steps.
Our next project is where we are working with our legal department and with the Directors Advisory Group to the Office of Detention Policy and Planning. We're looking at the possibilities of codifying a deferred action immigration status, which is... Deferred action is actually like the action to deport someone has been deferred because of extenuating circumstances. Secretary Morton of Homeland Security announced quite recently that because of the failure of secure communities to be arresting serious criminals and doing this general sweep, that they would be offering prosecutorial discretion to judges to allow this deferred action for people who haven't committed serious crimes. So we're looking to include the status, to have the status of HIV positive immigrant codified as a standard that can immediately be applied to deferred action. This would also allow the person, it would not be a pathway to citizenship, but it would allow the person work authorization, which would enable them for certain benefits, take the burden off the state in a lot of cases financially for these folks, and more importantly, with the Affordable Health Care Act hopefully coming through in a couple of years, it would enable those people to be able to buy the health insurance, which right now, because of their undocumented status, would not be available.